You know, it's a terrifying thing to stand up here. Pray for me. I have a little issue with vertigo from time to time. I want to take off on some of the things that Nick was talking about. I want to reread those scriptures at the end of 2 Timothy chapter 3. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 5, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Back to those verses. I want to lay an axe to the root of another lie that's out there. That is that the only inspired word of God is lost to us. It's the original documents that no one can get their hands on. Now, people didn't used to say that. Fundamental Christians of all kinds used to hold their book up and say, this is the inspired word of God. Believe every word of it. Now everything is questioned. We were talking in between meetings, several conversations, how that the big lie that Satan told to Eve, yea, hath God said. Are you sure that's what he said? Are you sure? Do you know that's what he said? That's everywhere. When I talk to young people, when I talk to Christians from all kinds of backgrounds, they're being told things that bring into question everything so that they do not trust the word of God, that they actually have it in their hands, so that they can know what it is. Part of the story that our brother told about Billy Graham going to school, there's another part to that story. You probably know it. He went to school with another man who struggled also with the doctrine of inspiration of scriptures. Do you remember his name? That man went another way. He became a skeptic. Abandoned everything. And this was a man in school that everybody would have said, this is going to be the most successful preacher of all time. But he struggled with that in school, the skeptics and reading the books and the different things that the skeptics brought forth. And he abandoned his faith. Well, we might say he never had one at all. He became an apostate. A modern version of that is a guy named Bert Earnham. This guy is making money. He's an apostate. People speak of him respectfully because of his scholarship or his depth of scholarship. He studied under Bruce Metzger, who's a very famous Greek scholar, and that's supposed to make him something. He's just a lying, cheating scumbag who is preaching against the word of God and leading people astray, especially those who are a bit intellectual. He gets inside their head and he gets them to doubt whether you can even find the word of God at all. If you don't believe you have a sword you can hold in your hand, why would you use it? So the words that were spoken here by Lemoyne, Brother Clausen, if you don't think they're real, why would you follow them? And if you've been caused to doubt whether they're real or not, and you question it, then you don't have an authority in your life that you need. You can be tossed about by all kinds of winds of doctrine and ideas that are out there. It was mentioned that on the internet, you can go on, watch YouTube videos, there's the lost books of the Bible, the missing books of the Bible, the Bibles that were thrown out of the Word of God or out of the Bible, out of the canon. And you get people saying that there was a council that the Roman Catholic Church dominated over that decided what books would be included and what would be excluded. There's some truth to that. But the canon of the New Testament as our brother said, was a little messy as it went along. But very early on, there were lists of most of the books of the New Testament. There were some that the early church and its believers, the body of Christ, that made the decision, not some council someplace. That was after the fact. And yes, they have messed with things. They've interfered with things. Men have done that. But I've mentioned this before. Between 120 and 150 A.D., there were two translations made of the Bible that were never under the control of Rome or Constantinople, the Eastern Orthodox Church. It went out in the body of Christ. And one version is called the Peshitta, the Syriac Peshitta, or Peshitta. It was a Syriac language translation of the Bible. And that went amongst the Arab peoples. There are still copies of those amongst the diminished amount of Arab Christians there are. But the Ethiopian Coptic Church, the Egyptian Coptic Church, and some of those, they still have those. And there are copies of them. The organized church like Rome never had their hands on them, so they never got to mess with them. They're out there, and there's still copies that are available. Mr. Darby, in his introduction, if anybody has it, he says there, he talks about the manuscripts, and he says, here's one called, I think it's called the Brixaxis or Brixanius, something like that. But he says, what is this? It's virtually the authorized version, and it's from way back then. Yeah. It's the King James in Syriac language almost. But there are witnesses to the truth of the scriptures that we have in our hands and the documents we have. But they're being questioned all over the place. And if you go on the internet or you talk with friends who've done that, they bring up these questions. And there are a lot of young people amongst us, and a lot of young people in evangelical churches that are wondering at these things. And it seems like there's a lot of information there. There is a host of information. But a lot of it's half-truths. So I want to point something out here in these verses I read. It says in verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Well, Eunice, well, Timothy's mother and grandmother, taught him. Apparently they could read. What scriptures did they have? Well, scholars tell us it was probably the Septuagint, the Greek Septuagint. Whether they had that, or whether they had a Hebrew version of the Old Testament, the Masoretic text, whichever one they had one of those. Now, they didn't have the originals. They were long gone. They had copies of copies of copies, or they had a translation into Greek. What does it say in verse 16 about Scripture? It calls whatever they had Scripture. Verse 16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Really? All Scripture? Even the Scripture Eunice had? Well, that's what people used to believe. A lot of people don't believe that anymore. So they talk about a Bible I can't have in my hands at all. I can't even find it. The best I can do is go to a Greek or Hebrew scholar and depend upon them to say, well, we think this is it. No. I'm happy that there are scholars that do the work they did and that do the work they do. But I am not dependent upon that. Our brother mentioned how Billy Graham finally just had to go in the woods and get in front of the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to receive this from you. I'm going to act in faith and believe that I have thy word in my hands. And his life shows that he believed that. Now, as our brother pointed out, everything he taught, well, I don't know that I believe everything anybody teaches. You might question a thing or two, but we can certainly discover from people's lives what they write, what they teach, what they preach, whether there's truth there, and they're seeking truth. You know what the first love that Christians give up? I bet you think it's the love of the Lord. No, it's the love of the truth. In 2 Thessalonians, when it talks about those who are left behind, at the rapture who will be turned over to a lie to believe the lie? Who are they? Those that did not receive the love of the truth. If you don't love truth, if you give that up, then you really don't want an answer. Like Brother Nick said, somebody may ask you a question, give me a verse for that. And they don't really want that verse. And when you finally show it to them or show some to them or at least put some principles together, they don't want to hear it. They've already made up their mind and there is not a love of the truth in their hearts. They don't want truth. One time at the fairgrounds back home, I was with a Christian friend I worked with, and his church, a fundamental church, Cedar Valley Bible Church, had a booth at the fair. And he asked me if I would stop by, and I did, and visited with him, and somebody took a break, and he said, would you fill in for him? I did. And these two guys came walking up, tiny little kid and his older brother, and he said, can I introduce myself to you and my brother? And I said, sure. And he said, my little brother thinks all Christians wear speckles and they're skinny little guys and they're weak. I wanted him to meet you. Are you a Christian? Are you born again? Do you believe the Bible? And I affirmed those things. But what an idea that Christians must be bespeckled, weak little people. Well, there are some. Thank God for that. But a little weak, bespeckled person who trusts in the Lord Jesus is stronger than any counterpart in the world. And if he believes the word of God, he has a sword that he can use. And when you use that sword, it doesn't matter if those you're talking to don't believe it. It still cuts. If I'm holding a steel sword and somebody says, I don't think that's going to hurt me, well, wait till I stick you with it. We'll see. Well, if you have faith in this book and that it is the inspired word of God, so how can a translation be inspired? They used to say about it that if it's accurately translated, in other words, if it's in another language than the original, which was Greek and Hebrew, and it's accurate, then it's inspired. If it's in English and it was originally in Greek and it's the words that God would want in English, then it's inspired. You might call it a derivative inspiration. Some people don't believe that either. But if you don't have a sword and you don't trust it, believe me, there are answers to all those questions. And the foolish headlines on YouTube videos that say those things, they're only partial truths, and they're put there to get you to look at them and to get people that are already maybe on the downward trend giving up the faith that they had or thought they had in an evangelical church and drifting away from it. Why do you think so many young people are just abandoning everything amongst us? I don't know why people aren't more concerned about it. To me, it's an existential threat that young people are being attacked so hard, so directly, and being turned aside. But I'm telling you, much of the things that you're being told are half-truths or just out-and-out lies. And if you do a little research, you'll find out that they are. So somebody like Bert Earnham, that's writing these books and making a fortune out of it, he's doing it by telling half-truths. Like, here's one. He will say, and it just shocks everybody, that of all the manuscripts that are available to translate the Bible from, there are over 200,000 mistakes. What? All he's really telling the truth about is that in all the manuscripts that have existed, the people have made copies of copies and of copies, that there are misspelling errors. Almost all of them are that. Or where somebody's copying a line and they repeat the line. Or somebody looks as they copied and they transposed a word or something. Well, those can be easily discovered. And when you eliminate all of that 200,000, makes a nice headline. And if somebody just sees that and goes away, they go, well, there's 200,000 mistakes in your Bible. How can I trust that? Well, if you pray about these things and you're facing them and you're hearing them from whatever source, you're looking at it, you're reading the books, you're watching the videos, or you have friends that are telling you, go a little deeper and you will find out. I believe with all my heart that any question that anybody wants to raise about the book I hold in my hands that questions it, I can give a reasonable defense and answer for it. I had a nice visit with Don Rule over at BTP recently, and I told him that, and he said, yeah, I think you probably can. But do you know, do people even know that's possible for an ordinary person? I'm not a Greek or Hebrew scholar. Like Nick said, I'm interested in words. I like looking up and following the etymology of words. I had a man who was an English teacher that worked for me, and I loved when he would talk about the roots of words and where they came from and their the roots and the meanings and the shades and of meaning that are there. And like Nick said, you can do that and then go back to your King James Bible and see, is it trying to depart from it? Or is it reaffirming it and giving maybe a little broader sense that's there in the original? That's fair. Because you cannot translate anything word for word. We're running out of time. Translations can be word for word. That's what the King James is. There are others that are attempting to do that and do it as literal as possible. But there's something called a dynamic equivalency. That's not a good way to translate a whole Bible. But every translation of anything in another language has to use dynamic equivalency to get an accurate representation. I'll tell you just one. In the King James Bible, we have the phrase, God forbid. Well, it doesn't say that exactly in the Greek. It says something, let it never be so. But in the Greek, when a Greek heard it, it's the strongest possible condemnation of let it not be so. Well, what is it in English? We say, God forbid. So that's a dynamic equivalent. It's a choice to give instruction and translate in the King James Bible the strongest possible kind of condemnation or something. Shall we sin that grace may abound? What's the strongest possible English term we could use? God forbid. God forbid. I hold in my hands the inspired word of God. I believe every word of it. I believe the ink on the pages. And I trust it. And God help me to obey it and submit myself to it. It's the safest path you can take. But for your intellectual benefit, as you research and search things out, if you've been caused to question, dig a little deeper, dear ones in Christ, dear young people, dig a little deeper. Because they are not telling you all the truth. It's only partial truths. And a ready defense can be made. And maybe you can be the one that does it.